A couple of months ago, we did a Order My Steps on the dangers of being passive and how that can get in the way of our Christianity, which we do see a problem with that in the body of Christ. Unfortunately, the other extreme of that is what we're going to talk about today. The name of this Order My Steps is The Carelessness of Aggressiveness. The Carelessness of Aggressiveness. Now, as we start off, we realize that a passive Christian does not act when he is supposed to and causes much damage. Okay, so this is a common problem. But on the other end of that, an aggressive Christian is one that overacts and usually causes a lot of problems in his actions. These two characteristics should never describe a Christian. All Christians should be responsible to God. That's the key we want to come to. Now, please understand that the title doesn't mean aggressive people don't care. It means they can be very careless with how they deal with things. In today's world, unfortunately, we're surrounded by causes. And unfortunately, instead of looking at causes through God, in other words, going to what God's word says are the things we are to stand for and how and when, we usually go after things that we feel the most, things that mean the most to us, and then we aggressively and carelessly go after it. And that's an aggressive person. And especially the most dangerous ones today are the ones who add God to their cause. Now, here's the problem. Most of the causes you see around the world are distorted and they're corrupt and they have things mixed in them. One of the worst things we can do is then add God to it as if he's on board with those corrupt causes. So we got to be very careful. You see, aggressive people have a passion with the wrong foundation. Romans 10, 1 to 2 says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." Okay, so he's saying, this is what I want. I want Israel to be saved. He said, but in verse 2, "For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God." He's saying they're passionate for God. Okay, and this, let's say we put that for everybody right now. Everybody wants to serve God, but watch this. Their zeal is not based on knowledge. Their passion is based on other things other than knowledge. Common problem today. We kind of take God and we put him in front of us and we put him as our cause, but we use other foundations to support that cause. And this is why we see so many differences. And then we passionately go after it and we say and we do things that actually go against God. Here's an example of an aggressive Christian overdoing it. In John 13, 6-8, it's talking about Jesus said, it says, "He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?'" Now, of course, Jesus was showing them this practice of serving, a leader serving. And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing." So he gave him the answer. He said, "You don't get it. I need you to go with them. I need you to trust me." Very important how God does this with us in our lives today. He says, but later you will understand. Eventually you're going to get this. But watch how Peter reacts. Instead of reacting off of knowledge, what his master, what his teacher just told him, he says in verse 8, "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Now, it's a shame that Jesus had to go to that extreme after he instructed him. And in the same way, we tend to, instead of going to the word to see if what I am doing is correct, we passionately go after something we feel strong about. This feeling strong about gets in the way. I think on the surface, somebody may look at and understand what Peter was doing, but it doesn't matter if you understand it or not. He was directly going against the main truth, the way. Do you understand that? And in his passion, look what he said, what would happen. He says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." He didn't say, "Peter, you're one of the main ones of the group. You know, you can't lose. I can't leave you." No, he said, "If you don't do this, this passion can make you leave me." And this is what's going on today. An aggressive Christian becomes a stumbling block to people. In Matthew 16, 21 through 23, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day, be raised to life." Now watch this. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now here's the problem. He's still being the teacher. Now, this is the same way as us reading the Bible, and because we don't agree with what the Bible says, we rebuke the Bible. That's exactly what he's doing here. Okay? It didn't say Jesus was having some feeling, Jesus was going through something. No, it says from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples. That means he's teaching them as he was doing all this time. He was beginning to explain this to them. And then here comes Peter responding off how he felt. He actually rebuked his teachings. He said, "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." Now here's the foundation of most of our aggression and most of our reactions and passions today. He says, "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Now that right there is the one thing that we have allowed and we have brought in to the church today, which is causing so many problems. We have gone out and gotten causes based on man, triggered them based on man, and are applying them based on man, but never checked with God. There are a lot of things I feel strong about, but when I check with the word, I have to back off. And it blows my mind when we don't see leaders doing this. I mean, instantly, I'll hear, and especially in political ones, and we got to put that out there, I'll hear these leaders who are, praise God, when it comes to other teachings, they're very strong on it, but when it comes to certain things they feel strong about, man, they'll give a whole message on something they feel strong about, which has nothing to do with God. We cannot do that. That aggression is a stumbling block, a major stumbling block. You see, God made it clear what will happen to those that cause others to stumble. He says in Matthew 18, 5 to 6, he says, "And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." I don't think he can make it any clearer than that. Tell them you could just die. I mean, basically, kill is better for them to just kill themselves than to cause one of them to stumble in sin. See, so when I'm bringing a cause which has nothing to do with God, and I'm basically placing it on people for those to pick who was to choose it. Now, please don't mistake this for something that is truly within sound doctrine I'm presenting it. That's one thing. But when I go out and I get something that I may feel passionate about, I bring it into the church and I force it on you, and some accept it and some don't, but it has nothing to do with God. And the ones that don't fall, the ones that do hang out in pride, those are sins, and that's my fault, leaders. Do you get this? That's a leader's fault. And you see the danger. We are the cause of them to sin. As leaders, we even have to be that much more reverent in what we're giving. I better biblically support what we're teaching. That's the key. You see, problem with aggressive Christian is they act / speak before thinking. Okay? The problem with aggressive Christians is they act and or speak without thinking. Let's give some examples. First of all, they're emotionally led. Proverbs 12:6, "A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult." One thing I got to see these last 2 years, and you pay close attention, is how people feel about topics. Now, that in itself is always going to be a split. You know, I mean, people are going to feel different ways, but it's what we do with that feeling. And you'll see some people who really wanted one side, not the other, and vice versa. And he's saying a fool. Now, remember, we are not allowed to call anybody a fool because the Bible already defines who a fool is. So when I see somebody react based on how they feel about it, that's a fool. But he says a prudent man overlooks an insult. Okay? Prudent. You just don't get that anymore. You don't get those types of characteristics anymore. That person who's sensible, who's wise, who's very careful in how he's reacting. He knows what he's hearing is wrong in the Lord, but he's carefully not to emotionally react. It's like, okay, do you get this? They speak carelessly. It says in Proverbs 12:23, "A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself." So, and sometimes you'll hear some people speak ignorance and just kind of got to just let it go at that moment. and teachings and stuff that may come up, but you watch it and you listen to it and you shake your head. I know we have all these video things. We have TikToks, we have Twitter, we have Instagram, in which people just want to put out their knowledge and people are fighting back and forth. And unfortunately, sometimes that's not the way to handle it. Sometimes. In all ways, we have to allow God. That's why I say as a prudent man, he stops for a minute and says, okay, God, just guide me in how and what you want me to say. But watch this. But the hearts of fools blurt out folly. The problem is you'll get some that will speak out some things they're saying, right? And then they miss a whole bunch of stuff here. Over and over again, I'm watching people say some things with some truth in it, but then they say some crazy things, and then they look crazy, and then everybody that's following them is crazy, and now we don't follow them. And do you understand this? Speak very carelessly, and they act without assessing. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 3, Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Now, it blows my mind. I don't even have to say it in what things and what we do see and what we do not see. We're busy going through these times where we're watching people see things. Okay, so there's things that are just plain and simple, and you still have people doing foolish moves. People still reacting foolishly in different ways. Prudent man sees danger. Now, we're not supposed to walk by sight, but there are things that are plain and simple that have nothing to do with faith. There's time where faith, your sight is used through faith, and there's things that wisdom show us. Okay, and hopefully you get that. If you don't, please talk to me and we will go deeper into that. Okay, so that's why he's saying a prudent man sees danger. Stuff that is basically, hey, I saw that dog bite people. I think we need to stay away from that dog. You know what I mean? I remember years ago we had a dog, and my daughter had it was my daughter's dog actually, and they had a curling iron. For some odd reason, he would lick the curling iron because he liked the salty taste off of it. I'm taking it, and he would cry because it was hot. But what would he do? He'd lick it again to get the saltiness, and then he cried because it was hot. Until we came in there, what the heck are you doing? And he in his mind, he was being simple. I want the salty taste. Oh man, this hurts. I want the salty taste. Oh man, this hurts. And this is what you see foolish people doing. We're watching us do stuff, and God gives us the wisdom to go, maybe I need to rethink this. But no, out of other things like pride, out of feeling, out of notions, out of stances, we keep going. Prudent man sees it and goes, we need to step back. Maybe we need to get away from this. We call this a simple man in the movies. You know how they always do, don't go right into danger. And we call that brave. Bible says, this, you know, that guy's simple. Think about it. Aggressive Christians act, and a fool will give them credit for it. This falls like in that verse where it says their destination is destruction. Do you understand that? Where their focus is doing things that or their glory is their shame, where they allow things that we should be going. That is foolish. That's crazy. But we give them credit for it. In fact, they start people off in the wrong way in aggression. They raise children emotionally, not carefully. You know, all parents should go through spiritual counseling or before their parents, all couples, before they have children, I encourage it. I can say this. I've always offered it. Can't say I've ever had it. Can't say I have people come to me and say, hey, we want to talk and go over what God's word says about having kids before we have kids. Now, it never fails. I'll get them after they have kids coming and saying, hey, let's talk about how to raise these kids. So it's almost like, you know, now that the problem's happened, can we fix it? Instead of being proactive, say, hey, can we get into it before? It's a problem with that because, once again, in our minds, we think we got everything figured out. He shows in Ephesians 6, verse 4, he says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Okay, now what does that mean? So sometimes as parents, we see our kids do something and we can react and we can respond based off of our emotions. I was saying, you know, not too long ago in a message that I was giving that I remember how I may have reacted to certain things that my kids did when they were younger until one day it hit me and said, Keith, you were that age. Now, in no way was I using this as an example or a reason to accept they're wrong. No. What it was Keith, don't act emotional. Think about it. Make yourself a slave to them in order to win them, as the Bible says. Do you understand that? Talk to them. Understand them. Of course, play. Do the discipline the way it does it, but don't do it to frustrate them. He says, instead, and the only way to do that, he says, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, that put a responsibility on me not to react out of emotion, and more parents do. I'm so angry, I don't know what to do. How many times have you heard parents say that? I'm so angry, I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? What if a doctor, you came in with a life-threatening problem, and the doctor goes, I'm so upset, I don't know what to do. You don't want him touching you. I mean, you're already dying. You need somebody that's going to be calm and understand what they're doing and then react. That's what a parent's supposed to. All right, my child's doing something right now. Now I got to react. The Bible shows us. He says, carefully disciplining them. Isn't that what it says? We see that in Proverbs 13, verse 24. He who spares the rod, first of all, hates his son. You get these ones that use human logic that, you know, oh, I just let them learn. They're going to learn from it. That's why we get these kids growing up with these weird ways of life that have nothing to do with God, because we spared the rod. There was no discipline. But he's saying those who have done that hate their children. But watch this. But he who loves him is careful to discipline. Discipline is definitely there, but he's very careful to do it. He realizes, I don't want this to harm. I don't want this to push away, but this is something God gave me in order to love. We don't do it emotionally. We do it understandably. We do it with wisdom. See, the aggressive put themselves in extreme danger. Matthew 7, 1 to 3 kind of breaks this down for us. When he says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. Now, of course, people ignorantly who read parts of the Bible here and there just say, see, I'm not supposed to judge. You got to read the rest of it. What he's putting out there is saying, you don't realize everything you do comes back to you. Not this karma. Karma, you know, has nothing to do with God. Please don't mix the two, all right? This is God telling us how I judge is how I'm going to be judged. Now, think about what he just said there, how I judge. Now, anything coming from me, hopefully if you understand where you're at in the make of things, that I am nothing without God. You are nothing without God. So I better not judge based on me, because I'm judging based on corruption, meaning I'm going to get judged based on corruption. Now, watch what he says. He says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. That should be devastating. Because usually we judge or react out of how we feel about it, not taking everything into consideration. So in the same way, God is saying, oh, that same thing's going to happen to you. You're going to get punished for something, not taking everything into consideration. I see that happening in many cases where people go through things. And when you get to know the entire story, you give them a lot more leniency because you understand what they're going through. But no, we usually react to what we see based on how we see it. From our perspective, what you did to me was wrong, so I'm going to react. God is like, okay, because this is going to happen to you. And he says, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So if I didn't use God, God's not going to be used for me. You understand this? Every other measurement is a false measurement. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? And watch this. And pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. A lot of times when we go after people, we have to realize many things. If I was in their shoes, would I act the same way? Am I doing the same thing just in a different pathway? How am I looking at things? Is it just my perspective? Do I take everything into consideration? All this stuff has to come into play. But an aggressive one just reacts to what they know and how they see it. God is saying, not only are you putting others in danger, you're putting yourself in danger. Aggression, that reacting without thinking, God does not accept. There's a lot of people doing that. So how do we eliminate this aggressiveness? How do we get rid of this corruption that we've allowed in the body that is really causing chaos? First of all, we need to realize the aggressive act is based on self, so we must eliminate self. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, do nothing. Those first two words is the negative everything. You know what I mean? So this includes everything when it says do nothing. So right now, there's going to be no excuse to ever use this out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Now, those two words, just to make sure we make it clear and we understand it, means based on me, only me, and based on how I see it. You get that? He says, do absolutely nothing based on me and how I see it. Now, that based on me and how I see it is a common practice today. Because the based on me and how I see it is where we go try to find people who have like minds based on me and how I see it. Am I right? Even though, see, the church is divided, not because everybody's getting it wrong, you know, and they're not listening to the people that are right. No, no, no. The church is divided because everybody who is wrong looks for people who have your label or your flavor of wrong. You understand that? And we get with them. See, it's based on what I feel. This is what I see and how I see it. Man, you think the way I do. Let's get together. Very dangerous. Selfish ambition and vain conceit. But he says, in humility, consider others better than yourself. And that's not just saying, hey, others are better than me. No, no, he's saying to treat others better than you. Put them before you. What that'll allow you to do is listen to others. You're going to consider, well, where are they coming from? You know, if they say there's a problem, you will consider it. You won't go, no, that's not true. Do you understand? You'll go, there's a reason why they're hurting. There's a reason why they're angry. There's a reason why they're frustrated. Let's talk about it. What can we do in God to take about this? Because I don't feel that way and I don't see it that way. But you feel another way and you see it another, and you see how we are all going the wrong way and we all have access to the way. So if we eliminate self and just go the one way, that's huge. Secondly, they must only preach the word and must do it patiently and carefully. I see it as trend today now where ministers are now adding these other concepts that certain groups lean upon in their ministries. And they're giving a lot of history and a lot of, you know, what they call as experts and stuff like that. And here's the danger with that. Even though there may be some what may seem like truth in it, there's a lot of dangerous backstories, a lot of things that are missing, and it doesn't fall on God. Go back to even, you know, the times with Jesus and everything. They stayed out of politics. They stayed out of some of the things that were going on because they were preaching the kingdom. He says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. We are strangers and aliens. We're not trying to adjust things down here. We do look out for those who cannot speak for themselves, but it's not for us to try to change or adjust the government. Nowhere in the word does it say that. That is not our cause. That is not our responsibility. In fact, that's very dangerous. What we have to do, as it shows Second Timothy 4, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, he says, preach the word. Okay? Preach the word. And how we do this is we preach the word, and that's why it says, be prepared in season and out of season. Now, that's the first thing. So I'm ready to just give what the word says. So that's the key. First, preach the word. It's not just giving a plain old preach the word. It's saying, no, no, preach the word. In the sermons, all you should get from me is the word. I have a whole lot of things I think can make this world better. You're not going to hear that in my sermons. But if what I'm preaching comes from the word, it may help adjust certain things in the world. Okay, amen. But I'm just preaching what the word says. And he says, make sure that in season and out of season. So even as a pastor, I got to be ready to just give the word, in my opinion, and not get caught into worldly debates. Do this in season and out of season. Do it when you correct. Do it when you rebuke. Do it when you encourage. Do it with everything. And you got to do it with two major applications, with great patience and careful instruction. Great patience. You're careful, very careful how you do it. You're understanding they're all not going to get it immediately. I may have to repeat this many times. And amen. If that's what I have to do, praise God. And careful instruction. Make sure you're giving what the word says, not your interpretation of the word. Or what you think the word should say? Great patience. We can go over this many times. I always tell people that if you ask the same question over and over again, at least you're asking the question. You know what I mean? Don't be one of those teachers that say, how many times do I have to go over this? Didn't I just tell you this? Don't we do that? What if God did that to us? Man, we all would be in trouble. Believe me. Great patience. Oh, you want to talk about it again? Amen. Careful instruction. Let's go back. Let's go to that word and see what it says. So if we just did that, just what God said, and not get caught in the middle of some of the garbage that's out here. Thirdly, they must assess themselves and see clearly to help others to see. Now, we just read about how do you see the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye without removing the speck out of your eye. Let's continue on that. He goes into Matthew 7, 4 through 5. He says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? See, there are times where we truly see a problem with other people. Absolutely. And we may not be wrong. Problem is, we got a problem, right? You know, if I have an addiction, but it happens to be to something else, but I'm trying to get you in rehab for your addiction, but you see my addiction, or even if you don't see my addiction, aren't I clouded with my addiction trying to help you in your addiction? I might even cause more damage because of my addiction trying to help you in your addiction. That's why he says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do you notice how he keeps using the eye? Because what this is not saying is solve your problem before you try to help solve other people's problems. Not what it's saying. Because a lot of problems we're not going to solve. We're going to find out we're dealing with. And then the Lord, we're trying to get out of. And we're trying to become spiritual so we don't have to deal with it. And when I see I have problems, it'll help me to help you see that you have problems. I'll have compassion, I'll have mercy, I'll have understanding, I'll have patience. Why? Because I got my problems. But when not, then I'm angry, I'm disappointed, I'm frustrated, I want nothing to do with you, even though I have my problems. How we deal with things will be wrong. Do you understand this? See, we get caught up in these things and we mess up. We blow it and we go in the wrong way. He makes it very clear on what we're supposed to do. Take that plank out of your own eye. Every time I've done this, and even in my counseling, I realized and I had to catch on to that I have to make sure I never act upon how I feel about it. But when I really think about that plank in my own eye, I see me in everybody that I talk to. You know what I mean? That always exists, always comes into play. Take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Okay? Then we must follow the communication rule from God. He says in James 1, 19 through 20, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be, this includes all people, everyone should be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Quick to listen. And that means I need to know where you're coming from. I think in the separation and nonsense that we're going through down here, if we weren't so selfish, we'd be more selfless and we'd be able to hear each other. And we're going to hear things that we don't agree with and we don't like. But the next step won't be, oh man, you're just overdoing it. It would be, so what are we going to do about this? How in God can we fix this? Because we need to fix this. See, all married couples need to do that. It's, I need to hear where you're coming from. You need to hear where I'm coming from. We're, once again, considering others, more important than ourselves. Then we come together with what we gathered. How are we going to fix this? Not to make you happy and not to make me happy, but to come back together in Him. So then we're going to be slow to speak. I'm not quick to just blurt out what I want to say or how I feel. I'm going to be very careful before I talk and then careful as I talk. Y'all catch this? And then slow to become angry. Slow to become angry. So the slow to become angry means I'm going to get a lot of emotions built up. I watch things today and I'm seeing them and I hear people to go, oh, I don't watch that because it, see, be careful of that. You need to train yourself to be able to see the things, know the feelings are going to come, but still not allow them to dictate how you're going to act. It's a practice that we must go through. You're going to be what we have. You're going to be triggered and you got to be careful not to be triggered. There are many triggers out there today to make you react. But he makes clear in verse 20, for a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Now, do you see what the outcome he's talking about? He's not saying that man's anger doesn't cause, make your cause stand and win over, because your cause, just like everybody else's cause, is meaningless. The main cause is them being with Christ. All these causes we're fighting here for
are always corrupt when they're not in God, period. I don't care what they are. When they're not in God, they're corrupt. When I say not in God, just because you add God's name to it doesn't make it in God. It's going to be something that's grounded in his sound word. But when you passionately, angry go after it, he's saying it doesn't do it. It pushes people away. And finally, all Christians must avoid being emotionally distracted and to be responsible to God. Do you understand that? Avoid being emotionally distracted, and they need to be responsible to God. 2 Timothy 2, 23 to 26 says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Did you catch that? So he's saying have nothing to do, and even though, because there's a verse, as we're going to see, we should not be in these arguments and what causes arguments and things like that. He says, don't have anything to do with it. So immediately when they spring up, you quietly bail out. But I'm seeing more Christians get caught up in some stupid arguments and debates over stuff that have nothing to do with God. He says they produce quarrels. I see people that are allowing things to separate them from family, from other Christians. Do you understand that? Now, first of all, if I have something like that to separate me from somebody, I need to really look into that something. He says, the Lord's servant must not quarrel. That's why we shouldn't be in debates. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Did you catch this? Kind to who? Everyone, able to teach. I got to know the word and understand what the word is saying. And I can't react out of what you, I can't be angry because of what your beliefs are. I cannot. I know I feel sort of when I hear some people have their certain beliefs and what they stand for. And I'm sure they have the same thing with me. But if my reaction is resentful, I'm against God. He says very clearly, this is how we're supposed to react. He says in 25, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hopes that God will grant them. Do you understand that? In hope that God will grant them repentance. See, what you're trying to do is play the instrument, but allow God to do the work, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. First of all, I got to go back to the other one. I got to remove the plank to make sure the thing that I'm upset about has nothing to do just with my beliefs. This is implied in here. It doesn't mean, see, a lot of people go after people who are mad at them because of what their beliefs are, because it's not my beliefs. Now, does that mean my beliefs are 100% right? If I can sound doctrine on it, okay. If I can't, then I'm just like them. I just got another belief that they don't have and we're mad at each other about. Remember, it comes down to leading them to a knowledge of the truth. The key being the truth, not my truth, which is not truth, and not their truth, which is not truth, but the truth, which is Christ. He says in verse 26, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil. Did you catch that? Who has taken them captive to do his will. See, what Satan wants is for us to feel passionate and feel strong about certain things, and we'll make a stand for them one way or the other. And that's what's happening today. You look around and people are making a stand and going firm on certain things in certain ways for how they feel and what they want on these certain things. Amen. And we're missing the point. We're going against it. Totally missing it. Aggression, especially nowadays, has become equal to and in some cases even more dangerous being passive. But both of them should not exist. A Christian is going to be wise. A Christian is going to be guided by God. A Christian is going to represent Christ. Let us stop carelessly being foolish and start godly being wise. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor, we just thank you and ask for your forgiveness, dear God, and us allowing our emotions to play such a role in our walk. Help us to keep looking to you, dear God, and walking in such a way that glorifies you, dear Lord, that represents you, and not get in the way, in order to bring others to you, dear Lord, and not to point our feelings and our causes to go against your main cause of salvation. We thank you so much for your mercy and your grace, and we ask you to help us to show mercy and grace to everyone we come in contact with. We ask for the blessings on those who are struggling in this world and how we're seeing the separation. And let us be wise and recognize what exactly is going on and not get caught up in it. We want to make sure we're walking and representing you in everything that we do and bringing the body together as one, because we know the time is short. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, Amen.